blind. He was immaculate. Fresh sneakers, perfectly shaved, slicked back hair, crisply ironed shirt. Only the cane and the way he felt his way on board the now familiar 207 bus made it clear to anyone who was watching. His partner helped him. As he lightly touched her elbow, she guided him up the steps and to the outside front seat, slightly to the right but behind the driver. She sat next to him, by the window, talking about anything the past as the bus weaved its way through the morning traffic, paused at bus stops, and then slowly collected passengers from and through the suburbs as they all headed for the tram station. Except this morning was different. He was on his own. The bus stopped short of the raised platform. His guide was not with him. He tapped his cane trying to find the edge of the sidewalk and the metal step of the entrance to the bus. The driver asked, could he help? I sat and watched. I watched him, feeling that glue of helplessness that comes from wanting to help but not knowing how to. Fearful, perhaps, of making a mistake or looking stupid or not having enough language to say, can I help you? He somehow managed to get on, lifting his weight, carrying his darkness, using his hands and ears as eyes, and moved himself steadily, carefully, as the bus shuddered, suddenly moving forward, and sat next to me. Had he seen me? Was he completely blind? Did he choose to help me? Or was I just there to help him? And he had somehow heard my thoughts, felt my own darkness, my own awkwardness. Good morning, I said to him quietly. How far are you travelling? I had this strange feeling that he was deaf too. I couldn't be sure. So I was surprised when he answered. His voice normal, his vocabulary excellent, his manner open, warm and friendly. Just to Charlottenplatz, he said. I felt very self-conscious, somehow ashamed, as if I had done something wrong, made a big fuss about this in my own head. Oddly, I was aware that having cycled, I must have been perhaps, well, you know, a little smelly. I'd rushed to do my teeth. I certainly wasn't as well-dressed. In fact, he obviously took more care of his appearance than myself, especially this morning. We talked, his eyes open, bright, clear and blue-grey, looked never ever in my own. He was always looking slightly above my eyes, to a place just above my forehead. Perhaps he imagined my eyes to be there. Maybe he could see me just a little bit, ever so slightly, in a small slit of light that entered through his eyes, like a door from a darkened room opened by just a tiny fraction into the bright light of a summer's day outside. I suddenly, just then, offered to help. Do you need my help? You know, getting off this bus, onto the platform and then to your tram. He replied with a mixture of relief, warmth and appreciation. Oof, suddenly I felt lighter, realizing I had done the right thing, stepping out of the blindness of my own life, out of my own silence. That privacy of oneself that keeps one's routines and values unthreatened by any change in place. The bus stopped. He got up. Slowly I followed him, guiding him down the steps, into the walkway that linked the bus stop to the entrance, to the slope that would take he and I to the tram platform. Can I hold you, please? He lightly touched my elbow and then held it as we walked side by side down the slope, his stick tap, tap, tapping as he moved parallel to me, using my direction and balance and his knowledge of the way to safely move forward. It's arriving soon, I said. Yours will be first. You can leave, right here, I think. Thank you. I was confused, my words the wrong way round. He understood. He tried to look at me in the eye, his blindness at once forgotten, as if he had connected with the greater blindness of my own ignorance that was all my own. His hand reached out to mine, his grasp strong. "Your name?" he inquired. "Paul," I responded. "Anton," he said, releasing our handshake. I knew, somehow, I would see him again. And so as my tram rushed me forward into my day, I watched him, standing still, an island of himself in a sea of hurrying people, everyone moving blindly in colours and fashions, all plugged into their lives, their own music, the morning internet streaming, blind to his world, and perhaps their own.